Today on Rambling About Cars, Honda Prelude, Subaru SVX, Mazda Rotary. Oh my God, what year is it? It's 2023, and these are some things we have to talk about from Tokyo, Japan Mobility Show, happening, well, for media right now. We've got a lot to discuss, some very cool concepts, so let's roll. It's podcast time. I am Christopher Smith and Chris Bruce across the way.
Yeah, we have a big announcement. I'm going to go ahead and say it now, and then I'm going to say it again at the end of the show so that everybody knows. Next week, that would be November 1st, we will be recording at 5 p.m. Eastern time. That would be 2.5 hours earlier than normal.
Yes.
The reason for that is that Darren from Auto Retro YouTube channel, and he is the guy that found the really cool Ford dealer in Germany that's still
the time capsule,
really cool 80s Fords. He will be our guest next week. He is in the UK, so 7:30 Eastern time, which Smith and I are on, would be 12:30 a.m.
Bit late.
It's a bit late for him. So if we move back a little bit, and then so he's on at 10 o'clock his time, it'll just work out better. So we're really looking forward to have him on. Apparently he's got some, more stories to tell. He knows a little bit more than what's in the video. He's also preparing a follow-up video to that. And I can't blame him. I just looked before we start the show and it's at 1 million views already. And
nice.
I think that video is only like 10 days or 14 days old.
So not even 2 weeks.
Just a huge success.
Awesome. It's awesome. It's a great video and it's a great story. And we're going to have a little bit of an exclusive there. So we really, really want all the Ramblers out there to tune in. Spread the word, too. That's going to be a very special podcast. Again, next Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern time, we will record live. If you're still listening on audio platforms, Spotify, Google, Deezer, always got to say Deezer,
Amazon. If you're an audio listener, you can ignore this message because you'll still get the show at the same time.
You'll still get the show. You'll still get it Friday morning on audio. And of course, we'll be up on YouTube once we finish recording, which will be probably around 6:30 p.m. So Eastern time. Very special podcast next week. We're very excited about that one. Hopefully you can all tune in. But before we get to that podcast,
let's talk about this podcast.
We have to get to this one. And Bruce, how many times the last year have we discussed on the podcast? Oh, I think auto shows are kind of going away. I don't know if it's going to be around much longer. Not much happened. Well, Tokyo has happened and it's now called Japan Mobility Show. And there have been all kinds of debuts. But like this feels like pre-COVID old school auto show stuff.
It totally just does.
With debuts popping everywhere. And the biggest, I think, hands down by far, is the bomb that Honda dropped. It was, I think 9 p.m. Eastern time last night. We get word, hey, there's a new Honda Prelude. Okay, I want to be clear. Honda Prelude concept. This is a concept vehicle. It debuted at Japan Mobility Show and Honda's booth. It was the one vehicle. It was the specialty sports concept
that they had mentioned. I was looking at that today. There was no mention of Prelude anytime before the show. We were still calling it. Because remember last week when we were going through all of the debuts with Jeff, it was like the one we didn't have pictures of.
Yep. So no Hunter pictures, really
kept
nothing.
Their powder dry. And I was like, we know we got something here, guys. And unveiled it. And it revived
us. They kept it under wraps. Big time. Bruce, we've got so much to say about it. By that, I mean, we don't really have much to say. Honda, we have a little bit. This came down late last night, Eastern time, which is in the morning in Tokyo. It's the Honda Prelude concept. It is electrified, but it's a hybrid. We just got that clarification today because when this was first announced, it was actually announced almost as an afterthought. Just to give all the Ramblers out there a little sort of behind the scenes take, I was listening and watching Honda's live stream debut. They went through the other concepts that we talked about on last week's podcast. What was it, Bruce? The little scooter bike,
the moto compacto, the
N van,
whatever it's called. Yeah.
They went through all of those. Okay, we got some information, and they were about to sign off. And I was like, are they not going to mention, are they going to say that debut for later? And then they were like, oh, and you're probably interested in this specialty sports concept. Here is our new Honda Prelude. It's like, brah, what? Did they just say Prelude? So yeah, that kind of sent me into a tizzy. We got something posted up on it right away. But they don't have any information to share regarding what's under the hood, powertrain, no details at all, other than the photos that we have and their announcement that said this is a prelude, air quotes, lowercase p, this is a prelude to their future sporty fun vehicles.
Right. So while we were talking there, I actually pulled up so Honda put up the entire address by their president, Toshihiro Mibe. And I'm just going to read the necessary bit of it, because while this is a concept, Smith, you can tell me if I'm right or not. These two sentences suggest it's a concept for now, but a production version is.
Well, go ahead. Maybe. Go ahead and read that. And before you do, let me just say to all the ramblers out there, well, one, if you're catching us live right now on Motor One YouTube, Motor One.com Facebook, Motor One.com Twitter, you can comment right now live. It comes into us. We can see, respond. So if you're listening for the first time, please do that. And as Bruce reads this statement, understand that this is probably 50% of the entire blurb we got on Prelude. It was over like 30 seconds.
So these two sentences, the Prelude concept is a specialty sports model that will offer exhilarating experience that makes you want to keep going forever and extraordinary excitement you never felt before. In order to offer the joy of driving, only Honda can realize, we are diligently progressing with development. So please keep your expectations high for this model. That doesn't sound like a concept.
No, it really doesn't. And when you look at it,
we are diligently progressing with development.
And unfortunately, I mean, we've tried to get more information. Honda just isn't wanting to talk about it yet.
Right. Honda released a single press image. These images, thankfully, we have people on the ground in Tokyo who took photos. So that's where these photos came from. Honda released a single press image. So
a single press image. Fortunately, we have boots on the ground at Japan Mobility Show who jumped in, snapped a lot of photos. So if you are catching us a couple days from now on audio, jump over to MotorOne.com. If it's not still on the front of our page, because this is obviously melting the website right now. Everybody wants to know about it. If it's not at the top of the page, just type Prelude in search. It'll come right up. We've got, about 15 photos or so all around the outside showing the car. And while it wasn't mentioned at launch, I know Group FBC, you had just commented about being a hybrid. Yes, it has been confirmed. This is a hybrid. It's not a pure electric vehicle. There was a lot of confusion last night because they presented it as an electrified vehicle in a sea of battery electric vehicles with no other context. And even some of our folks on the ground were saying that they were calling it an EV there on site. It has been confirmed. We did confirm directly with Honda spokesperson in the United States, hybrid. What exactly does that mean? Nobody knows. Other than there's a gasoline engine with some electrified component. How much horsepower? Nobody knows. Front wheel drive, all wheel drive? Nobody knows. What we do know is what we can look at. And we do have some very good images to look at based on all the other concepts that have debuted at Japan Mobility Show. This one looks like it could go into production tomorrow. Now, we're not saying it will. Honda has not confirmed anything about production. but it looks production ready.
It does. Yeah.
I mean, even when you zoom in close, there's no weird wheels or weird tire. In fact, I think it's riding on 20-inch wheels with Continental tires that look just off the shelf, ready to go. The styling is not out of this world weird. The only thing, the windows are all tinted black, which usually means there isn't much to see inside. Although we're told from our people on the ground that, yes, there is actually an interior in there. Honda apparently just doesn't want to show it off right now.
Hi, Baxter.
And Baxter has joined the chat. Hello, Baxter. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming in and checking out the Honda Prelude right now.
Opinion portion.
What do you think? The whole thing has been opinion portion pretty much.
We don't have any info, even the facts. We gave the quote from the company's president. We gave the fact that it's definitely a hybrid, but we haven't talked about what you think of the styling or what I think of the styling.
Right off the bat, when I saw it, it was like, holy hell, this should have been the Acura Integra. Doesn't it have serious Integra vibes?
It's really funny that you say that, because that's literally the same thing I was thinking.
I mean, it looks like it could be a modern Integra.
Yeah, it does.
It looks more like a modern Integra than it does a modern Prelude. A modern Prelude. But I mean, the Prelude went out in 2001. It wasn't super boxy, but it had some squarish proportions about it. This is certainly a little more rounded. I almost get like a second gen Mitsubishi Eclipse vibe.
It's not that rounded.
The roof from the A-pillars kind of swooping back, I get a little bit of that.
Okay, fair enough.
I get a little bit of that. And then up front, okay, I get a little bit of Civic design language with the grill that's obviously not there.
So here, our buddy Anthony wrote up a great story today, just going through some of the basic specs and then also images of all five previous generation Preludes. So you can see here, this is the last one we got, which, it's upright, certainly from the way the light lamps are and stuff. And then the new one, big change, but it's still kind of cool that name is coming back. And let's see what Honda does with it. Honda's been, remember what, this time last year, we were talking about the Integra coming back and, that name plate. And so it seems like they're being pretty strategic with what they revive and how they do it. So be curious to see what ends up happening with this project.
Well, I mean, Prelude, there's a strong following there still. There are a lot of people that still love the Prelude. I am among them. I almost bought I think it was a second gen Prelude way, way back in the day. I was just looking, it was when I was doing my regular, annual cheap car for the winter purchase, and I found a pretty nice Prelude, and I was really close to buying it. And I'm trying to think what I bought instead. I can't remember exactly. I think it's a smart name to bring back, especially if they want to just kind of reinvigorate the segment for just a small sporty two-door. We've certainly pored over the pictures here. Yeah. There's no information, like I said, there's no information on the powertrain, what's happening underneath, other than we know it's a hybrid. When you look in close on our photos, you can see there are Brembo brakes back there. So I don't think this is just like a shell. I think there could actually be some gear under there. When will we see a possible production version? That is hard to say. I see some comments here. SJR
25. I think that's too soon.
I think that's probably a little too soon. 2026, maybe. We'll just have to wait and see. I was really hoping once I saw Prelude, okay, and they just mentioned it quickly at the end of their live stream presentation. I'm rubbing my hands together. I'm like, okay, give it like 5 or 10 minutes. They'll have a press release up on the website where I can find some more information. And
there still isn't a press release.
There aren't even any more photos. I mean, if you want to get a good look straight up, I write for MotorOne.com. I work for MotorOne.com. Super proud of MotorOne.com. If you want to see some good photos, we have some legit good photos, and you won't find too many of them out there. So MotorOne.com, go check out, look at it for yourself, and then email us, podcast@MotorOne.com. Tell me what you think. Tell us what you think. Should this come back as it is, as a prelude? Yeah, we love to hear the feedback. And Group FBC, can always count on you for a little bit of relief here, as I believe the kids say, VTech, yo. In this case, VTech is going to be like, you know, when that electric motor kicks in, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on from one electrified vehicle to another electrified vehicle, and one that is drop dead gorgeous to me, but I've got a feeling we're never actually going to see a production version.
I hope so, because this is one that we actually have information on.
That's true.
We actually have information. This is the Mazda Iconic SP Concept. This is the pseudo Mazda Miata teaser that we talked about on last week's podcast.
Right.
It looks very much like the vision study from, what was it, last year? The white Mazda vision
at this point, but
vision study. It looks much like that. But Bruce, why don't you tell us a little bit about it? I know you were doing some extra work on it.
Sure thing. Well, first off, just look at it. It's gorgeous. It has pop-up headlights. It has pop-up headlights in 2023.
They're very small, but it's like
very small.
But that works. Lights are small now. If something were to malfunction, they probably still kind of pop. I don't know. Pop-up headlights. You don't need to worry about anything else.
Yeah. But I think you want to know about the powertrain. It's an interesting setup. I spoke with Mazda today and got some tidbits, but not everything. So the powertrain in this is related to what is in the Mazda MX-30 REV, and that is their rotary. How can I explain this? It has a rotary engine, but the rotary engine does not power the wheels. It operates purely as a generator, and then it has electric power powering the wheels.
Yes.
And this is the same way, but whereas the MX-30 has a single rotor engine, this has a dual rotor engine. So you get two little Doritos spinning. And you might not be able to tell this, but that engine is actually mid-mounted. They said that they did that in order to keep the hood line low. So mid-mounted rotary, but it is electric. We do know Mazda did not give any specs about the battery. They did not give any specific specs about the motor. So we don't know if this has 1, 2, 3, 4 motors, whatever. But we know the total output is 365 horsepower. To put that into perspective, because I did that as I was writing the story up, the original, or not the original, the third gen, the FD RX-7, the kind of real swoopy one that everyone loves, that had 255 horsepower. So, you know, nice big jump there. It's got these, you know, kind of swallow wing type doors that open up and outward. It's got a super simple interior. It's really cool. I still don't think they're going to build it, but it's really cool.
You know, I mean, next to the Prelude concept, I would say this is probably the other big debut at Japan Mobility that looks ready or close to production, because when we have a full interior in here, the exterior isn't outlandish by any means.
No,
it's about to give you some perspective on this too. And again, let's go back to 365 horsepower. That'll come through an electric motor. So you're going to get the instant torque with the electric motor. The car itself is, I think, 10 inches longer than a Miata. It's still a 2-seater.
Yes, than a current-gen Miata.
Current-gen Miata, and I think, 4.5 or 5 inches shorter than the FD RX-7.
4 inches
shorter. So it kind of fits right in there. It's not a big car. No. We do know that it weighs just under 3,200 pounds, which you think, okay, it's kind of portly, but...
I mean...
In this day and age, with so much equipment and technology, and this being technically an electric vehicle...
Yeah,
I mean,
who wrote up the debut story for us, he actually listed out. So a current Toyota Supra is 3,342 pounds.
Yeah.
Current Nissan Z is 3,519 pounds. And again, this is 3,197 pounds. So
sneaking in there a little bit. And I tell you what,
less than either one of those. And
that kind of weight with 365 horsepower, this car would be a hoot.
It would be if it actually gets made.
it would be plenty quick. And let's take a moment and talk about the Rotary. Yes. Because it's such an iconic engine associated with Mazda, specifically Mazda Performance. But it's one of those love-hate things. You either love the Rotary or you want nothing to do with them. And I hate to say, but I fall in that second category. I really don't want anything to do with them just because they have such a poor record for reliability. They never generate a lot of torque, and really in a larger vehicle, the torque really matters. It really helps to get you going. Yeah. Hey, they sound neat when they're just revving to the moon, provided they have a good exhaust system. I've heard plenty that just kind of like sound like a snorting pig at idle. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Send the hate email podcast@moto1.com. I can take it. And mind you, I almost bought an RX-8 several years ago. I was very close. It was a cool car. Such a smooth revving engine, but I didn't want to dive into any of that potential maintenance nightmare. And I've talked to other Rotary people that are like, oh, you just have to maintain it. It's like, well, yeah, you have to maintain anything, but some things require more maintenance than others, don't they?
Right. Yeah, they do.
Maybe
theoretically. And again, theoretically, since at least in the MX-30, since the engine essentially runs at a constant rate, it's a generator. So like when you put the throttle down, it's not like the rotary revs up. It's all going to the electric motors. Theoretically, it might be a little bit more reliable.
That's the point I was about to make. Could this be the ideal application for a rotary used as a range extender? You still have that connection. You can still have a little bit of that sound, a little bit of that feel, but instead of powering the wheels, it's powering a battery, or basically a generator that charges up the battery that can also be charged by plugging it in.
Yep.
So if you do run into any maintenance issues, I mean, the car is technically still functional. You just wouldn't have the capability of your
significant amount of range, but
you'd lose range because you wouldn't have that range extender. But it's a small, compact engine, so it's not going to take a lot of space.
Right.
Right. And it runs extremely smooth. If you've never driven a rotary car, that's like one of the that's one of the takeaways. It's one of the kind of eureka moments. It's like you don't realize just how smooth of an engine that is. I think a hybrid application might just be ideal for a rotary. And I hope somebody from Mazda is listening, because I'm not a rotary person, but I am for this Mazda Iconic SP rotary concept.
I mean, I just think it looks gorgeous, but you know,
it does that as well.
Just about anything in it. The fact that it has an interesting powertrain kind of fits with it. It's a very Mazda thing to do, of to do something that is not the first way you would think to set up a vehicle, of having a mid-mounted rotary engine that's just functioning as a generator. But man, is it good looking.
It looks great. It looks like it could be something that you could go to the dealership and buy tomorrow. I mean, it definitely has a modern look, but it's not outlandishly. I mean, like some vehicles that we'll talk about in a bit, obviously that's a concept, and obviously that's never going to go to production like that, because it's interesting, but it's also kind of silly at the same time. And this is not. And I got to shout out Group FBC's comment here. But Smith, they go brap, brap, brap.
They do.
I don't even know what to search for on YouTube. But there's a video that I saw. It was like 10 or 15 years ago or something. And it's just like somebody walking up to a Mazda, and you hear it just idle, and it's just like blah, 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 like a loud, you know, modified rotary does. And then the guy holds up like a little stuffed pig that he's squeezing that's actually making the noise, and it freaking sounded like the car. And it's just like, okay, that's kind of hilarious.
Daniel Guzman says, small battery pack, range extender, low weight. That's the equation. And he's right. That is exactly what this thing would do. Again, where at least from Honda's statements, it seems like we're going to see a new Prelude. I don't know. I don't know about this one.
Well, I mean, if you're,
but I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, if you're Mazda, you're sitting back here now thinking, okay, gosh, Toyota Supra, check. Okay. Maybe we need to jump into this new Nissan Z. Maybe we need to jump into this. And now here comes Honda Prelude. Okay. I mean, Prelude wasn't really in the same vein, but
no, it was
still, we're pulling some serious 90s nostalgia here. Mm-hmm. And it, there's a little bit of irony, I think, in these two vehicles coming out here in Tokyo at the Japan Mobility Show. Pull on at people's heartstrings.
Sure.
Mazda, I hope you do it. I hope you do something with it.
I hope they do it too. Another one. Okay. This one's not going to happen, but this is another one I want. That is the Subaru Sport Mobility Concept. I just lost my thing. There it is. I know you actually wrote up the story for us, and your headline was fantastic. Subaru Sport Mobility Concept is an electric cyberpunk SVX.
We've got to give that credit to Travis, our new boss here at
Travis came up with that. Cool.
Because I mean, this dropped usually, and here's a little bit more inside story for all the ramblers out there, from the side of automotive journalism. Oftentimes we will get embargoed information ahead of time for big debuts. And for this particular show, we had Mazda ahead of time and that was it. So we were left, I mean, just had to go old school. Okay. We've got to watch. We've got to listen. As soon as this news breaks, we got to be right on it. This was another case of that. And again, just like with Honda Prelude, the photos that you're seeing here are from our people on the ground. Mm-hmm. Subaru offered just a couple very low resolution photos on their website. So if you want to get a really good look at this thing, Subaru Sport Mobility Concept, it's a two-door coupe that at first glance, you think it has sort of a crossover vibe, but it doesn't really sit up high. It just has some chunky proportions.
Yeah.
Go to MotorOne.com. You can see this thing up close. And you'll realize it really is a concept. I mean, we're looking at some photos right now that show, what is that? 1, 2, 3, what was it? Hexagon wheel covers?
Yep, hexagonal wheel covers.
Hexagonal wheel covers. Yep, no, those.
Fiber.
Yeah, yep, those aren't going to happen. And it just, it has almost like a squared off or rectangular fenders, but with just a few curves in them. But it has sort of this long, sleek appearance, and I want to be very clear. Subaru did not make one teeny mention of SVX anywhere.
Right.
This is purely my interpretation, and we were discussing a little bit, last night as we were doing this. I still get serious SVX vibes, and I'm trying to find somebody to talk to at Subaru about this. To see if there was any sort of SVX influence, or if at least the designers were listening to like early 90s music when they were coming up with this. Because you have that long hood, mm-hmm. and you have that raked roof. It doesn't have the little window inserts built into the side windows.
But it still has a huge greenhouse, which is an SVX quality.
Absolutely. When you look at that A-pillar and how the windshield kind of wraps around to the front, you get that same SVX essence of the, thank you, Bruce, that big greenhouse that goes around. You've got the little narrow lights up front, and it just has a weirdness about it, doesn't it? I mean, obviously it's a concept, but even as far as concepts go, it has a weirdness about it. And then there was the way that Subaru presented it. As you look at the photos here, there's this little kind of weird air thing that's behind it.
Yeah,
they did like
air mobility concept.
That's the Subaru air mobility concept. What is that? You say it's basically a chair inside, surrounded by six rotors all around the outside, two on each side for four, one in the front, one in the back. It looks thin enough to fit into like a credit card slot. It's a super thin vehicle. But they debuted these vehicles together, and you have the mobility concept sitting on the ground, and then the air mobility concept, they have it on this pneumatic lift. They bring it out. It's like hovering over the car. Then it kind of goes down. Then it goes up. Then it moves all around. It's like, is it going to connect to the car and fly away? Because that would be so Japanese and awesome. But it doesn't. It doesn't. They're just separate things. However, Subaru does say that they are working on doing flight demonstrations with the air mobility concept. So apparently it is functional to some degree, at least. As far as usually, the sport mobility concept.
Crazy, but keep in mind, so Subaru's parent, Fuji Heavy Industries, they actually build helicopters.
Oh, yeah.
For the Japanese military and for the Japanese just, you know, market in general. So it's not as crazy as it sounds that they could do this.
No,
I don't know that I want to be the first one to take a ride in one, but at least the guy building it has some experience in this segment.
As somebody who went through private pilot ground school and I never actually finished to get my license because I was a teenager and after like 10 hours of flight time, I got bored and I should never have done that. I get super nervous in helicopters. Well, helicopters to a degree, you can still auto rotate. If you have an engine failure, you can auto rotate down, manage your closure, manage your rates, and you can still auto rotate that down and land safely. In like a quadcopter or a little thing like this, I mean, engines quit, you just drop. Presumably there's like an emergency parachute that you pull. But if you're 100 feet off the ground and all of a sudden one of your or two of your engines shut out, you're just going to go down. You're not going to have time to pull the chute. So I always get a little nervous around those. But I mean, when they work, they're cool. I would just get a little nervous because I don't feel like there's much of a backup in there.
Sure.
And Group F, we see the top half is good. Lower half is clumsy. Yeah. That's
where you're coming from. Yeah,
absolutely. It has a very chunky appearance from like the bottom half has a chunky appearance. The top half looks really sleek. So there's a strange dichotomy going on there.
I think the forged carbon fiber, it's kind of a hat on a hat. It feels like it just doesn't feel like it should be. It feels like a step too far. If they had done something else, I think it might be look like a more cohesive vehicle.
Yeah. I mean, I should also mention too, Subaru, they don't have anything regarding stats as far as performance, no. Powertrain layout, engine. Presented the car
on the side. So you could have take that from somewhere, but otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, they just presented the car for what it is. Is it going to go anywhere? Probably not, but it could certainly point to some design directions for the future. Mm-hmm. I was sad to not see any SVX reference because I mean, when I look at it, I see so much SVX influence in there, and maybe it's just me being a fan of that car. And maybe I'm putting a little too much association in there, but I mean, Bruce, am I wrong? Are you seeing the same things that I'm seeing
in the greenhouse specifically? Yes.
Yeah.
Let me start. I actually pulled up an SVX image here. I swear I did. There it is.
I mean, it's the design, but it's also just kind of the general weird factor about it.
Yeah. Know? It's the weirdness, you know, it's not that, you know, that big expansive black greenhouse is where I see it the most.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm right there with you. And I mean the headlight design up front, I see a little bit of it there in the headlight design.
I could go with that.
But like I said, is it going anywhere? Don't really know. Probably not. No information, just a concept at this time. But I want to believe that somebody at Subaru is thinking about SVX because even the weird cars need some love.
Speaking of a car that is almost certainly not going anywhere, but we have to talk about it because it has a name that is both stupid and fabulous, and it makes both a stupid and fabulous amount of horsepower.
Before you say it, the only thing I think of here is like some weird Power Rangers team that we've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
So think about Power Rangers. As Bruce tells you what this vehicle is called.
This is the Nissan Hyperforce concept. Hyperforce. Let's go.
Go. Pterodactyl.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's been ages since I've seen any of those.
Same, but still, this is their sports car concept. You will notice that there's that little like red and white thing at the very middle of the grill. I legit thought it was a GTR badge the first time I was looking at this.
I know, right?
But our colleague Adrian, apparently it's just this stylized pixel thing, but he says, like, even he says, man,
well,
it looks like a GTR logo. And it's in that angle there, you get a little bit of a GTR vibe.
Sorry, go ahead, Bruce.
No, I was going to say, this one we do have some specs for. This would use 4 electric motors and make 1,341 horsepower from them. So gobs of power. Obviously, this is a concept. Obviously, they're not going to sell anything like this. But Smith, you and I have been writing about cars over a decade. You're a little longer than me even. How long have we been talking about a new Nissan GTR?
A little over a decade. Well, no, not that long. But I mean, hey, new GTR, it's been around forever, right? It's one of the oldest new cars, you know, in its current generation that you can get right now. I want to point out, similar to Subaru with their sport mobility concept, Nissan didn't specifically say anything about this being like GTR-ish, right?
But then you look at it.
But you look at it, okay, and obviously, I mean, come on, the taillights there, I mean, that's GTR. The pixel lights that you were talking about in front.
Look at the roofline. That looks like the current GTR.
The roofline has GTR, and here we're getting a good look at the front of the car, and that looks like an illuminated just a little GTR badge.
I'm going back to it right now.
But it's not. It's just a little, when you zoom in, it's just little square pixels lit up with white and red. There aren't any actual letters there, but when you see it from a distance, boy, that sure looks like GTR, doesn't it?
Exactly.
But it's just, so I mean, it's like one of those wink, wink, nudge, nudge moments.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like, what? No, that's not GTR. That's just pixels. Look.
Did we say anything about GTR? No.
No.
It really looks like one, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the big question here. Okay. Does this preview or give some taste of the next generation GTR? Whether it's even called GTR or R36, whatever they're going to call it. It's hyper interesting. Mm-hmm. And of course it's got the crazy weird cockpit.
Of course it has to, with the
yoke and all of that good stuff. You mentioned the power, Bruce. So I don't know if I have much else to add on this other than
to add it, you know,
it's wild. It's interesting. Nissan has rolled into Japan Mobility Show with all kinds of force concepts.
Yep.
And this one was a little unexpected. It popped last night and, you know,
yeah, I think we've kind of said everything we can say about
future GTR. Mustang 750R, I think you are a new commenter, so thanks for joining us here, says preview of the next GTR. I think you're right. I mean, it's not going to look exactly like this because
no,
bonkers. But buried in here somewhere is a taste. I mean, maybe it's more about the powertrain, because if it goes all electric, you know, 1,000 horsepower R36.
Yep. And it's worth pointing out, Mustang 750R, you're correct. Polyphony Digital yep. is working on it. In fact, what's his name?
I think, isn't this going to be
Yamaguchi? Is that the Gran Turismo guy? He was on stage to present it.
Isn't this going to be in GT7 at some point? Did I hear that?
I wouldn't be
correctly or incorrectly. I thought there was a GT7 reference to it somewhere.
I mean, that checks out, put it that mm-hmm. way. Given all of the Vision Gran Turismo stuff and whatnot, I would be kind of shocked if they weren't going to put it in the game. But
yeah. Very cool. That could be like the if the prelude was like the holy crap moment, and the Mazda was the I really wish they would do this moment, I would have to say the Hyperforce was kind of the nobody expected that.
No.
With that kind of pomp and circumstance moment, it was definitely a kind of like a shock and awe thing.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Hey, that's if you're an automaker and you want to grab attention, that's a good way to do it. And certainly at this show, like I said in the beginning, we've seen more debuts at this show than I've seen at an auto show in a long time.
Oh yeah. There's a ton of stuff we haven't even brought up and we're not going to have time to bring up. Yeah. This next vehicle, I'll be totally honest with you. It did really good traffic for us on the site and I don't understand why, because it just, hey, I don't get it. This is the Lexus LFZL concept, and they are saying that this is previewing an upcoming future flagship EV SUV from them.
Yep, this is one of the Lexus vehicles that that we saw teasers on. Hopefully, LFZL does not go to production with that name.
Agreed.
Because there's the other concept that we'll talk about here in a bit, the LFZC. Mm-hmm. And regular ramblers have heard me just bitch like crazy about Toyota, which Lexus is Toyota's luxury division. Toyota deciding all the cars need to sound like a stormtrooper. No, just please stop. LFZL is somebody you call when Han is trying to break somebody out of jail. Not when you want to drive something nice to the theater, which, yes, the LFZL, which in this case stands for Lexus Future Zero Emission Luxury. I mean, I got that right away as soon as I saw LFZL. I didn't need Lexus to tell me that, right? Very luxurious. It's sort of like a minivan, sort of like an SUV. We don't really know. It's got sliding doors on the sides.
That's not going to be a production. They never have those doors come to production. They put them on concept cars so you can see the interior.
The Toyota Century has sliding rear doors available as an option.
You're right.
And we were talking about this a little today. Why don't we see more crossover SUV vehicles with sliding rear doors, because as a family vehicle, a sliding back door makes it much, much easier to get in and out of, especially in tight spaces where you can't swing that door open wide. It makes sense. And I wouldn't think twice about it on this concept, which I want to point out is a concept. It points to a future vehicle, but there's no indication that this particular design, this particular model is going to go into production. Correct. But it foretells what's coming. Right. With Lexus being a part of Toyota and Toyota already having their Century, their new Century SUV with sliding rear doors available, I wouldn't be surprised if that feature does make it.
You might be right.
Because we're talking about, I mean, the way this vehicle is designed, I mean, it very much has a crossover vibe, but also with those doors, a little bit of a minivan vibe. Mm-hmm. And it's a design that works. And if you can plug those doors in, it gives you something a little extra that you're not going to find in other crossovers or SUVs. I think the question is one of stigma.
Yes.
Will people just naturally associate sliding doors with a van, which is boring, which I'm sorry, it's not. Minivans, I think, are still a much better alternative for family vehicles than a lot of the SUVs that families want to buy. But that's a podcast for another time. I wouldn't be surprised if that design feature makes it to production on whatever this ends up being.
Could be. The other thing that that is in this vehicle that is apparently going to come to production eventually is this vehicle has Lexus's new Arene operating system. That's what they're calling the infotainment system software. And they said that's going to be coming at some point. They didn't say when, but apparently this is something that's going to be coming. It supports over-the-air updates, which pretty much every OS does these days in vehicles. But it also has AI to help drivers. They didn't give any real specifics about how that would work. But Lexus has kind of had a bad reputation with infotainment systems in the past. So the fact that they have a new system, at least on horizon, that, you know, that's probably a good thing.
And I like the design on here with the small little individual screens on either side of the steering wheel, where, or I guess in this case, the yoke, where you're holding onto it. You've got just those small little screens that almost look like little smartphones.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. Position right there. I think that's a pretty clever design to give you some pretty, just, you know, really quick, easy access to controls. And then, of course, there's the big screen over there in the middle. I found their description of their AI system to be pretty interesting. Obviously, it's a system that's designed to learn the needs of the driver or the wants of the driver over time. So the more you use it, the more it adapts to you. And I'm going to take things in a potentially bad direction here because I was thinking about this earlier.
Okay.
Suppose somebody how should I put it?
Smith, should we this conversation?
Gastrointestinal issues over time. I mean, would the car just then naturally like turn on the air conditioner or something or put down the windows every time you get it? I mean, theoretically, we're talking about AI systems that adapt. If you get in the car with everybody else and within a couple minutes, everybody's putting down the windows, wouldn't the AI just automatically put down windows after like 3 or 4 minutes for no reason? Is that how AI works? Are you okay, Bruce? You're looking a little...
Yeah.
It's a little silly, but AI, I mean...
Groupa FBC is going to save us here because sliding doors say MPV, minivan, and folk don't want to buy MPVs and vans.
You're correct there. You're correct there. But I still want to know if AI will automatically put down the windows if you're gassy.
Okay.
Because if it doesn't, we're not really talking about AI, are we?
I think we're really jumping to some big conclusions here, but you know
it's,
what?
It's what goes through my mind occasionally, especially after having Taco Bell. Group FBC says, I can't be the only person who doesn't want my car learning about me. It's my car, not my friend. 1,000% with you right there. I am completely with you. But I've also seen way too many Hollywood movies where machines kill us all. Mm-hmm. And I'm convinced every time I go into the store and go through the self-checkout and the self-checkout does something wrong and I yell at the self-checkout, that's the reason why in 50 years AI will kill us, because it's tired of people like me bitching them out because I made a mistake scanning something twice and then I blame it on the stupid machine, right?
Okay. Real quick, let's just zoom through this one. This is Lexus's other concept.
Yes.
This is the LFZC. I agree with you, man. These names got to change.
LFZC, report to detention center 2. LFZC.
These names got it. But this is Lexus's other concept. This one they are not really saying is production intent. This is just kind of a show off. I think it's an attractive vehicle, honestly. It kind of blends really, really angular stuff at the front to a really smooth look at the rear. Mm-hmm. And then it's got a pretty cool interior as well. Like that angle, you could almost tell me that was a Lamborghini or like a Lamborghini designed by AI. And I would believe you.
Yeah, I would say there's some real Lamborghini vibes going on there just because, well, I mean, it's a very busy design in the front. Let's be honest. There are angles all over the place. It's kind of blocky and chunky. And like the Subaru mobility concept, it sort of clashes down low with what's going on up top because we have that extremely raked back windshield going into a fastback design. And it begs the question, are we looking at a sedan? There are four doors there. Are we looking at a fastback, like a four-door coupe? Are we looking at a low riding crossover? Maybe. Are we looking at a lift back?
I think the answer is we don't know. And I also get the impression that Lexus actually intends to build this. They're just showing off as a design exercise as to what's possible. I will say Lexus. So here is what LFZC stands for. Lexus Future Zero Emission Catalyst.
Catalyst.
Yeah.
Catalyst. Okay. I don't know. Catalyst. I guess it's a catalyst for future ideas. Mustang 750R hits it on the head. Commenter, Lamborghini Reventon meets Prius.
Yes.
That is a very astute observation right there. Very, very astute observation. Now, Lexus, I mean, we don't think it's going to go. I mean, we don't think there's anything coming like this for production, but this does point towards, I think, something they said for 2026. So we'll have to see what goes on there. It certainly stands out, but, and we've talked about this before on the podcast, based on what we've been seeing from some other brands, kind of simplifying things, especially from Korea, where we're just seeing more simple square designs, cleaner designs. This is definitely not a clean design. This is a very busy design. And it's interesting to see these two directions that vehicles are going in right now. And it's like, which direction is going to win? And I am firmly on the side.
Is it? Because there's a consumer out there that's theoretically going to want, there's someone out there who's going to want a really boxy vehicle. There's someone out there who might prefer a sleek vehicle. So it's not that one has to win. It's just, it still has to appeal to enough customers to be profitable, though.
Exactly. Exactly. And perhaps that's the better way to put it. Which design language will appeal to the most consumers?
Sure.
And I'm starting to think it's the simpler. Now, I'm a simple kind of guy. I like the simpler, cleaner designs. I haven't been very interested in Lexus stuff for quite a while now. The LFA was really the last Lexus that just pushed all the right buttons for me.
I still think the LC is gorgeous, but you never, I mean, I can count on one hand the number of those I've seen on the road. So,
yeah. But yeah, that's what we have going on from Lexus. As with most of the other debuts of the concepts, I mean, nothing as far as
this one specifically, we have basically nothing on. It was just, they showed it off. Here's a cool design we're thinking about. That's it.
Yep, for sure. Well, Bruce, I mean, we've got a little bit of extra time. What else do we want to talk about here at the show?
Well, I've got three tabs pulled up, and they're all various flavors of Toyota. Do we want Toyota sports car or do we want Toyota pickup?
Let's go with Toyota sports car because I think we covered the Toyota pickup a little bit in the previous podcast. Did we? I think we did.
No, the Friday, so no.
You're talking about the small pickup truck, the EPU,
yeah, the electric pickup.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, tell you what, let's go ahead and talk about that because that's pretty interesting.
I agree.
Because when it popped up, Toyota calls it a mid-sized truck,
and that debuted Friday. So
we did miss that. When the truck debuted, this is going on for Japan Mobility, but we had information on it last week. Toyota calls it a mid-sized truck, but they also listed specific dimensions for it.
Right.
And the dimensions match up very, very close to the Ford Maverick. And in our post, we actually said this could be the Maverick's worst nightmare. It's an electric vehicle. It definitely has an EV look to it. It's got that really, really short front with a cab that sits way forward. Mm-hmm. But it is a large cab inside with a short bed on the back. I'm going completely from memory here because this has been, 5 or 6 days now since I wrote it. You might have to give me an assist here, Bruce. The dimensions, I think, were just a little bit longer. I think the wheelbase was a little bit longer than Maverick, but overall length was a little shorter, or is it vice versa?
I'm looking at your story now. They're basically the same footprint. It's a matter of inches, basically. Which is interesting because you look at this and it doesn't look like a Maverick size pickup truck. It looks bigger than that visually. I think it's just because it has such a chunky shape that it seems to take up more kind of visual space. This is a Maverick, basically a Maverick size truck.
And it is an EV, as with many of the other concepts, as we've said a lot tonight, there is no information regarding the powertrain layout, horsepower, battery size. This is just a demonstration of a vehicle that they have in mind. But, and I was keen to point this out in the article, I don't think this looks radical in terms of concepts. No. We have a full interior that comes with it. There's a yoke for the steering wheel, but we have a detailed interior. and the exterior dimensions, the exterior style, this looks like something that could be production.
Yeah.
Maybe not tomorrow, but maybe in a couple of years, you know?
Yeah. You look at that image and that doesn't look out of place. You know, it's not like overly futuristic. It's not overly complicated. There's mm-hmm. nothing there that doesn't say, oh, we could build this. Like, you know, it's a pretty, I wouldn't say a simple design. That's not the right word for it, but it's something, it seems like a viable design. I think that's a better word.
Mustang 750R says the design seems safe, and that I can get a little sense of that. It's not really rocking the boat, but it has a very distinctive look, especially with that very, very short nose on it. And mm-hmm. honestly, I know there are basically two camps when it comes to electric vehicles. There are those that want electric vehicles to just look like the cars that we have now with combustion engines and not have them look any different. And then there are those that are like, well, we don't need the same kind of space for an engine and an exhaust system and a cooling system and all of these things. So let's redesign the vehicle to use the space that we have the best we can. I'm in that camp, and I think Toyota designed this truck with that in mind. It doesn't look like a regular truck in the sense that it has that cab so far forward. You don't need the big space up there for an engine. So let's utilize that for more space inside, and maybe a little more room in the bed. This still has a really short bed. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think a lot of automakers right now are looking at Ford's success with the Maverick and rethinking that segment.
Yeah. We just covered third quarter pricing. Well, I guess it was beginning of the month, so we didn't just cover mm-hmm. it, but, Maverick outsold Ranger as of the third quarter.
Yeah.
That, you know, people, you know, we heard for years, oh, there's not a business case for a small truck. People don't want a small truck, stuff like that. And, you know, at least in this case,
I think a lot of people in the United States think small truck, and they think back to the original Ranger and S10 days where, generally speaking, it was a small single cab truck where you and one other person could fit comfortably. If you had a bench seat, maybe you could kind of stuff two people in the front. Even if you had the super cab version of those trucks, nobody wanted to sit in the back because that was basically extra storage for groceries. There were jump seats back there, but it's sort of like riding in the back of a Mustang or a Porsche 911. I mean, you can be back there if you're really small and you have to, but nobody really wants to. So they weren't as viable an option. Now with the Maverick, you have large space inside to fit five people with relative comfort, plus some utility in the bed. People realized, well, I mean, maybe we don't need a 6 foot or an 8 foot box. I know there are a lot of people that still want that functionality in a truck. But for most people,
offers that too. So
yeah. For most people, the smaller bed works just fine. And now we have a vehicle that works for a family and still offers that truck capability with an open bed where you can toss a washing machine or something in there that you could never fit into the trunk of a vehicle. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of automakers are watching Ford's success now. I think Toyota is one of them. And I think this EPU concept truck might just be a direct response to that success.
And I think we're going to finish up here. Oh, you wanted to talk about the Mitsubishi. I did not have that pulled up. I'll vamp for a second. And why don't you pull up the Mitsubishi?
Okay. Let me get the Mitsubishi going. Are you going to pull up the Mitsubishi? You want me to vamp? Me to vamp and you pull up the Mitsubishi?
Doesn't matter, dude. I got it. I'm on the case. I'm finding a little Mitsubishi van, which when I looked at it earlier, I thought that's a face only a mother could love.
Wow. You know, we saw the teaser, right? We saw the teaser. Well,
in the teaser, they had dirt hiding most of the car. Now you see
the
car.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, you see, I mean, you see this big cloud of dirt. I don't think it's that bad. Come on. You see this big cloud of dirt with a little like rooftop tent or thing. And you think, oh, okay, this is going to be pretty cool. This is going to be something new for Mitsubishi. It's the DX concept. In this case, D:X concept.
At the pushed-in face like a French bulldog.
It has what's the vehicle that I'm thinking of? Aventime? Renault Aventime?
No, that's sleeker than this.
It's just the way the front kind of, and I might have my European vehicles mixed up with something else here. In any case, this is basically a little all-wheel drive minivan. It's a six-seater. It's a pure concept. Two seats in the front, two seats in the middle, two seats in the back. But hey, it's a little off-road minivan. I think it's kind of neat. Is it weird looking? Well, yeah, it's a concept. Of course it's weird looking. It's supposed to be weird looking. Is it going to go to production? Probably not. And like so many other concepts from Japan Mobility Show, there aren't any specific details to talk about. I'm just going over the article right now. I had a chance to read it a little bit before we started the show. I mean, it's got skid plates underneath. It's got that just kind of weird cab over kind of design. There really is no hood on it. It's just drops off there at the front. Is all-wheel drive. It certainly has an off-roading theme. They give you cameras inside so you can see all around, all of that cool stuff. And it has been designed as a plug-in hybrid, so not pure electric, not pure combustion. And, you know, I mean, maybe the near future, and by that I mean the next 10, 15 years or so, will be the domain of plug-in hybrids until things get a little bit better sorted, maybe in the EV world. I don't know, Bruce. It's not ugly to me. Okay. It's not pretty, but it's not ugly. It's distinct. It reminds me of I'm trying to think of some of the like some of the small Toyota vans and Mitsubishi vans through the 80s.
By the way, here's the Avantime that you referenced earlier. Sorry, dude. Nope.
I'm thinking of something else. Okay. I can't remember what it was. It was on an episode of Top Gear.
It was probably the Fiat Multipla, which is famous.
Yes. Correctly. Yes. I think that's it. Where they created the van for elderly drivers that had like clay front bumper, you know, did Top Gear, ridiculous stuff. That's definitely the vibe that I'm getting from there. And yeah, I do think it's the Fiat, but I think it has a cool vibe. You know, I think it has a cool vibe. Sort of like the Suzuki Jimny looks kind of silly, but it has a cool vibe.
Here is the Fiat Multipla.
Yeah. you get a little sense of that.
I can kind of see where you're coming from. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you get a little sense of that. Well, okay, here's the hood, but now, okay, here's like another little weird section of the front that we don't really know where to put it. So we'll just stick it up here so the windshield can sit up a little bit higher, you know. Yeah.
But since we have just a minute here, let's finish out Mustang, 750R. I've got a tab pulled up because I'm pulling up photos for you. You asked what the sports car is. That would be the Toyota FSSE concept.
Somebody needs to take away the dictionary from Toyota. Just no. Just
I feel like what
FTLEC. It's like this isn't a social security number. It's a car.
Do you remember alphabet cereal where it was just all letters? I just feel like they just throw letters at a wall. They're like, we're calling it.
Yep. Let's just. Hey, what's your password, Bob? Okay, that sounds good. That's what we're going to call the car. Like, that's your. So this car is like somebody's bank card password. No, it's not. Don't go out and try to type this number into an ATM. I'm not responsible for what happens to you. Motor1.com is not responsible for what happens. No, this is the Toyota FTSE concept. Yep. MR2, anyone?
Yeah.
Well, let's go right out and say it.
It doesn't look like an MR2, but it is in the world of an MR2. It's a two-seater, fully electric, really kind of interesting look. I get a little bit of like Alfa Romeo 4C vibes from it, just a little bit. But yeah, cool looking car. This is another one I'm not sure that we're ever actually going to see in production, but cool looking car.
Yeah, and I mean, again, no real stats on what might be powering it. Well, you know, under the hood, just another case of here's an idea of something that we have in our mind going forward. Will we see it? Don't know. I kind of hope so. I will say Toyota, I feel like they're showing a range of vehicles Japan Mobility. They're definitely showing that they don't want to be just a one trick pony. They don't just want to be Prius and Supra and Tundra. They're trying to show some different things, some different areas. This is obviously the more sporty side. I just wish we could get some names instead of all of these designations, but hey, maybe Toyota will listen to me. Cadillac hey, finally listened to me after.
Makes sense. Electric pickup truck, or I guess it's electric pickup. It'd be otherwise. But
you don't have to be so practical in your naming. Give somebody reason to remember it. Who's going to remember FTIRJ-26?
You're not wrong.
Nobody. But who remembers Cadillac Eldorado?
That's true.
Yeah. You know, you're listening out there. Wherever you're at right now, Rambler, you're listening, you're thinking, Cadillac Eldorado, yeah, that's something that I remember and I either love or hate. But you remember, if I say FTTLK, what's that? Well, that reminds me, I got to pay my credit card bill when I get home. That's what you think of. So that's my diatribe on names. Name cars, people.
Well, we are going to finish up for tonight. But before we finish up, I am going to tell everyone listening again, next week, November 1st, we will be recording, Luca Capizio, How Much for a Prelude? We don't know yet. We don't even know when it's going to production. We think it might go into production based on what the president of the company said, but got nothing.
Yep, right now it's just a concept vehicle. There's been no indication that it's going to go into production, but there's a lot of wink, wink, nudge, nudge that it might, and it certainly looks like it could be production ready. But thanks for joining us, Luca, coming right in here at the end of the podcast. You can go back and catch it all from its entirety in about probably 5-10 minutes or so.
Smith, you have to tell my mother what the model is behind you. Oh, it's a Subaru Impreza, the 555.
That's a WRX STI Tommy Mack.
Yep.
Edition. And if I'm being completely honest, it's also a Transformer.
Oh, very nice. But next week, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, November 1st. That's when, if you want to join us live, you want to talk to Darren, you want to talk about his cool discovery. I think the plan is his new video will possibly go up that day or a day earlier, pretty soon after, or pretty soon before the show. Mm-hmm. If you want to join us and, you know, be able to chat with him, ask him questions, stuff like that, 5 p.m. Eastern, that will be 10:30 for him. Otherwise, you know, it'll be Smith and I and Darren, and we'll be talking cool old Fords in Germany. But
In case you're like, what the hell are these guys talking about? I think it was last week, Bruce, we were talking about it. This dealership was uncovered in Germany, and it appeared to be just like this abandoned time capsule dealership full of like 80s Fords that are still brand new, like somebody walked away, but it's not really abandoned. It was created, has an ode, it has a special monument to a person that was in the automotive business who had dealerships. We'll have a much bigger story on it next week, but it's a super cool, heartwarming story about cars, and we're very excited to have Darren joining us as a special guest. We're getting a little bit of an exclusive there on all of that. And again, 5 p.m. will be live on YouTube, Motor One on YouTube, Motor One.com on Facebook, Motor One.com on Twitter. You can go there, you can comment, you can chat with us live. We love the interaction.
Yep, totally. And so as always, thanks for joining us. We understand, like, it's, you know, it's a Wednesday evening. You could be doing anything else. You could be watching some show you like. You could be playing video games. You could be playing Forza. I don't know. But you decided to join it with spend the time with us, and I really appreciate that. I know Smith really appreciates that. And so looking forward to next week. Really looking to having a chat with Darren. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. We will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.